Hey there, Hoops fans. How you doing? It's your boy, Jonathan Macri, with you for another episode of NBA Takedown, coming at you a little earlier than usual on this Monday. I got my guy, Jeff, over here, who has a busy day, so we're going a little early. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
What's going on, man? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I love that shirt. I'm very jealous. It's a good color combo.
Thank you.
Yeah, bright orange. And then speaking of color combos, wearing the same color combo, I guess all three of us are wearing, because I'm wearing a KFS shirt, so we're all doing orange and blue, which is funny because team didn't exactly hold up their end of the bargain last night. Sean with a W from sunny Florida, or overcast Florida. How are you, Sean?
I'm good. It is overcast Florida. Hopefully the weather report says there'll be a window of sunshine between 1 and 4 p.m., which I will go to the beach and or pool and with a adult beverage. But for now, it's South Florida. I was going to say in the spring, but it's South Florida any time of year. It's cloudy to sunny to cloudy to rain to thunderstorm to hurricane to sunny. So
we can just stop at Florida.
Yeah, that's also very true. That as my brother referred to as the Gunshine State yesterday, and I was like, that's a great name.
What's your adult beverage of choice going to be today?
You know, I really feel like a Vespa Martini, but I think that's too much. I'm just going to stick to either a margarita, or I actually had an old fashioned with spiced rum yesterday, and it was amazing.
Have you ever had a Vesper Martini, Jeff?
I haven't. I thought Sean was casting a spell, to be honest. So I was just wondering I was looking for the magic to happen.
I think I know what a Vesper is.
I've heard of it.
I've heard of
but
it.
But I don't know what's in it.
It's the James Bond Martini.
There it is.
So it's three parts gin, one part vodka, half a part Lillet Blanc, and shaken, not stirred.
Well, you should go up to is there like a beach bar there or a pool bar or whatever?
Yes.
You should go up to that bartender, that poor, poor bartender, and be like, I want the James Bond Martini. Let's see what
they should know. If they're a real bartender, they should know what it is. But I don't know if they're going to have the Lillet Blanc. I don't know if they're going to have that at the beach bar. It's a lot of tequila. A lot of drinks of umbrellas at the beach bar or the poolside bar, but you know we'll manage, right, Zach? Yeah, that's right.
You gotta get him started early. Okay, we got a lot to get to in a little bit of time, so let us get started.
2-1-0, ignition, liftoff.
All right, I'm going to ask you both to indulge me while I give a quick run-through here, and then that'll kind of set up the first half of our combo today, and then we'll get to some all NBA stuff later. So here's what we got with 2 weeks left in the regular season, and you guys chime in if I miss anything. Here are our playoff races. Spots 1 and 2 in the West, spots 3 through 6 in the West, and really it's kind of separating itself into spots 3 and 4 and then 5 and 6. We got 2 through 4 in the East, 5 through 7 in the East, and then 8 through 10 in the East. Key games remaining, Western Conference. The Lakers play the Thunder 2 more times. Also notably, the Lakers, I think they're the only Western Conference team that has 3 games remaining versus outright tankers, plus a Warriors game that takes place late next week. We'll see if Steph Curry is back for that. We got Spurs and Nuggets playing 2 more times, plus games featuring the Rockets and the Wolves, and then the Nuggets and the Thunder. Key games in the East, Knicks, Boston, obviously that one shaping up to be massive about a week and a half from now. Cavs versus the Hornets, they play each other 2 times. Also, speaking of Cleveland, maybe trying to get the 3 seed. Maybe not. We'll talk about that. They have the second easiest schedule remaining in the league, and they are the only team left that isn't a tanker themselves that plays 4 different tankers. Plus, they get the Warriors later this week when Steph Curry will almost certainly not be back. So Cavs holding a lot of cards here. Speaking of holding cards, Miami plays Toronto 2 more times, Philly 1 more time, Atlanta 1 more time. The Magic also play the Hawks. And then how about this for holding cards? Did you guys know the Boston Celtics play every East team in spots 5 through 10 except for Philly? They play the Hawks, the Raptors, the Heat, the Magic, and the Hornets 1 time each. Plus, of course, that game against the Knicks.
So what you're saying is we got to shoot Jaylen Brown some Venmos depending on the matchups that we want to see. they literally can change the balance of that bottom five.
I would say the Celtics probably are going to dictate what goes on in terms of the East playoff picture more than anybody, although there is one other team that's going to be heard from, which brings me to intra-conference games of note. Lakers play the Cavs. Pistons play the Thunder. Pistons also play the Timberwolves. So it's funny. Pistons may not have much left to play for, but they have a couple of big games there. Knicks play the Rockets. That is happening, of course, tomorrow night. Spurs versus the Sixers. Sneaky, huge game for both teams, especially if the Sixers are healthy. And then the team I was just alluding to, Timberwolves. They play, still left in their schedule, the Sixers, the Magic, and the Hornets. So Wolves going to be doing a lot of dictating as far as what is happening in the bottom half of the East playoff bracket. And then the last thing I just kind of wanted to show or throw in here, because we're here in New York thinking about who might the Knicks be facing in their first round. Is Charlotte still a team to be avoided? Is there another team that maybe Knicks should be looking to avoid? Charlotte Hornets, seventh hardest remaining schedule. They hold the tiebreaker against the Hawks, but they have already lost the tiebreaker against Philly. So if you're looking at Charlotte maybe making a play, they've now lost two in a row, so it might be hard for them to get up too much higher. If they're going to take a playoff spot, it would seem to be that Hawks spot, but they may have a little bit too much ground to cover. Although, last thing, Atlanta, fifth hardest schedule in the NBA. So if there is going to be a swap that takes place, again, in the current kind of Eastern Conference playoff picture, maybe you're looking at Hawks falling out of six and one of those other teams moving into six. Raptors quietly solidifying their playoff position. Jeff, I'll go to you first. Out of all of that, what is most interesting to you?
Looking at the standings now, I think there's no race like this 5 through 10 in the East. We haven't seen something like that since the play-in era.
Yeah.
So where usually in the last 2 weeks of the season, you get the chess moves and the playoff positioning where teams start to magically rest players because they may want a more advantageous seed. This is the first time, I think, in the play-in era, especially in the East, where everyone is incentivized to win. Mm-hmm. This is the best case scenario, the perfect world that the NBA envisioned when they began the play-in, where you have seven teams vying for really two spots. Six teams vying for two guaranteed play-in spots, playoff spots.
Yep.
And, you know, I think it's really interesting because not only are we shuffling the deck to figure out what the last two seeds are going to be, if you're the top four, you really don't know what you want.
No.
At this point, you got to say to yourself, we just got to win. Whoever we face, we got to win. There is no real, you know, save for maybe one or two teams that I think the top four, if you got them in a room and you got a podcast and you told them like, hey, who you want to face? You know, I know everybody be like 1, 2, 3 Raptors and all start laughing, right? But outside of that, you just got to play who's in front of you and beat them. It's really exciting to me.
I don't know if there's even one Raptor fan watching this right now, but if there is, they're definitely yelling at their device because like, hey, we just set a new NBA record for largest run in an NBA game since the play-by-play era.
That was against the Magic, right?
Going on a 31-0 run.
31 zip?
I was texting with Andrew and one of our friends from Fanatics earlier today and just like speculating about the offseason. I'm like, yeah, you know, the Magic, maybe there's a desperation trade there, although they'll probably just fire their coach after the season. And Andrew was like, they may fire their coach before their next game. And I'm like, that's
31-0?
They lost by I think they lost by 50.
They 52, right? Yeah, I saw that.
It was a few points. So the Magic may be broken.
89-87.
Yeah, that's not.
I mean, yeah, if the Raptors face the Magic. Yeah, I say that. They got that.
I think we could safely. I'm actually. Sean, what do you think about this? I want to tier it with Orlando, Toronto in the bottom tier in terms of if you gave, as Jeff said, all of the East, the top, whatever, 2, 3, 4 in the East truth serum, who you want to play, who you do want to avoid. Toronto and Orlando go in their own category. And that's with all due respect to the Raptors and their 31-0 run. Then the middle category, I think, has to be Atlanta and Miami as kind of like almost like an unknown in terms of like Atlanta's been playing great, but how serious are they? Miami, is there still any voodoo left in the tank? And then the top category, I still think it has to be Charlotte, despite the fact they've lost 2 in a row. And Philly, because, and I know one or both of you are going to laugh at me, but like they're healthy right now. Playoffs are in 2 weeks or whatever it is, 3 weeks.
I'm not even going to laugh at you because it's just getting annoying at this point.
What, Joel Embiid's career?
To continue this discussion against the Sixers. I've been saying for a minute, my X factor is Paul George because he is Steve Rogers to me right now. I think whatever serum he was on, he had time to sit, he had time to heal, and he had time for the potion to get into motion. So now he might be rejuvenated.
No, you picked the wrong one. It's Bucky Barnes. He fell off the train into the snow. They dragged his body into the lake.
So he's the Winter Soldier. He's the Winter Soldier right now. Yeah, listen, it's just they're such an unknown variable because they are the ifs and fifths team in the East. I hear people say, oh, you don't want to face Joel Embiid. I ain't trying to face Joel Embiid in the first round. I ain't trying to face Paul George in the first round. I'm like, I've seen that movie too. I've seen that movie too.
We've seen
it. I get it. I've seen that movie though. I've seen the sequels. I've seen the spinoffs. I know what I'm getting.
But that was a, listen, man, that was a hard fought series. Talk about Knicks Sixers.
Should have been over in 5.
Yes.
That's end of game 2 erasure right there, Jeff. But I'll
about game 5.
No, I'm saying
game 5 it cancels out games. Game 5, the end of game 5 cancels out the end of game 2. Because we got lucky, they got lucky. Who does Shaq say? One lucky shot deserves another. So I see where you're coming from, Jeff. I see where you both are coming from. But to your point, Jeff, if Mitchell Robinson doesn't get pump fake into Tyrese Maxey, it probably ends at 5.
Sean, what's your take on the state of these? Because I know you have nothing but disrespect for all these teams.
So I said when Joel Embiid came back and in the two games the Knicks played against them, I tweeted that if any team who plays Joel Embiid plays the Sixers in the first round, I'm running up and down every single possession. I'm making him drag that leg every single like, all right, you want to play? Cool. Like, we're not like any team that, and the Knicks dumbasses will be the ones to do it, but any team that decides to slow down the pace and not push the pace against that team with those old guys and injured guys, like, I'll be like, listen, Tyrese Maxey, you can score 45 points a game. But guess what? These two, especially dude dragging his leg, that ain't gonna be it. I mean you're right. I don't respect any of these teams in terms of
I know you don't.
Like, how, like, are they gonna win a playoff series? Congratulations, Charlotte. You have won the annual team that nobody wants to play that also is not gonna win a playoff series. We had a couple teams this every year. I wrote down a list. Last year, it was Miami who got like the worst 4-game ass whooping in NBA history in the Bucks. At 24, we had the Magic and the Lakers. At 23, we had Miami. At 22, we had the Brooklyn Nets. Oh, nobody wants to play the Nets. Katie and Kyrie.
So you're going through past like nobody wants to play these teams that did not amount to anything, basically.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll say this. If we look at teams 5 through 10, which team do I think has the best chance to win a first round series? I would say Charlotte. And I was telling Mensa yesterday on Weekly Wagers about Atlanta. Like, Atlanta's playing well, whatever. No, we spoke about this on Late Night After School, Jeff, that like Atlanta's
going to shout out to you guys for that.
Listen, dog, if I didn't have a fight the next morning, I would have been completely lit. Like, why not? Anyway. But their go-to guy is CJ McCollum. So if you go down the list of teams, it's like, I have Kate Cunningham, hopefully, knock on wood. I have Kate Cunningham, UFC Jim Colum. I have Jalen Brunson, UFC Jim McCollum. I have Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, UFC CJ McCollum. And also, I'm giving the fifth annual or fourth annual Isaac Okoro Leave You Wide Ass Open Award to one Dyson Daniels. Because, John, yes, you know, I know you know this. What is Dyson Daniels shooting from three this season?
Oh, is it in the single digits or is it above 10% now? Is
it 15%? It's above 10%. It's 15%.
Okay.
And you cannot have someone in today's NBA that you're shooting 15%. Like, it's going to be similar. It may be similar to what J.B. Bickerstaff had to deal with Asar Thompson last year, where there are times he's going to have him on the floor because the Knicks are just leaving him open.
Yeah, but that's a good comp because, like, the Pistons managed it well enough. You know, the Pistons are still managing it because Asar Thompson still doesn't really hit threes. I don't know. Jeff, I want to even extend what Sean just said, and it's like, if there's one series, obviously with all that's in flux, like if someone was like, there will be a first round playoff upset in the Eastern Conference, tell me the two teams you think would be involved in the upset.
Because
Sean just said Charlotte without specifying a first round opponent, because Sean likes to wiggle his way out of any real accountability, but that's fine.
That is. Nothing could be further from the truth. No, I'll say it's sure. Detroit.
So you think Hornets, Pistons, out of all the possibilities,
because again, their best player's lung collapsed 2 weeks ago. Like that is why. Like that combined with how well the Hornets are playing, it could be very similar to Heat Bucks in 2023. 23.
That was 1-8.
And people rewrite history that mind beat them straight up. And I just remind them that Giannis was healthy for five quarters. And while
was it only five quarters?
He was healthy for five quarters because he got hurt at the end of game one.
I'm fact checking you on this, but
They won game two. I remember they won. Did they get there in game one or game two? Because they won game.
I have it here. He got injured 10 minutes into game one, which was a game that they lost by 13 points.
Yes.
The Bucks won it big game two. Without Giannis. They lost game three without Giannis. Giannis came back and played 38 minutes in game four. They lost. And then he played 42 minutes in game five, lost in overtime. So it was eight and a half quarters of a healthy
game. I say five because he probably shouldn't have played game four, but maybe knowing the circumstances, he had to. But anyway, the point I'm making is,
dude had 38 and 20 in game five. Anyway, continue.
That's crazy. Sorry. But the point is, Charlotte. I'm saying Charlotte can beat Detroit if Charlotte plays Detroit either without Cade or Cade coming back from again. Like someone with a collapsed lung whose job it is to run up and down for miles on end, the signs are there.
I have a different answer, but I want to go to Jeff first.
If there is gonna be an upset, I would say I am definitely interested to see who Cleveland gets in a draw.
Oh, you have half of mine.
Yep.
You have half of mine.
If you ask me to bet futures right now, or you just said, yo, you have to pick the seeding, I think the seeding stays the way it is for the top four. If I had to like choose right now, I think the seeding stays the way it is. That fifth seed, boy. Oh my God!
So it let could me just be say,
so many. If it's Cleveland, Philly,
that's the one I'm looking at. Let me stop you. Philly's remaining schedule: the harder games they have: San Antonio, Detroit, Minnesota, Houston, Miami. Tasty matchup. And then they have three automatic wins. Although, speaking of the Zombie Heat, lost to the fucking Pacers yesterday. Philly has the Pacers, the Wizards, and the Bucks left on their schedule as well. So three should be automatic wins, and Heat we'll see, and then four tough games.
Because what, Philly's 41-33. The Raptors are 42-32.
There's a game between there's Raptors, Hawks, and Sixers are separated by a game.
They're virtual. What's the tiebreakers looking like with Raptors? Let me go to.
So Philly, I'll look up the Philly tiebreakers right now. The thing I should have had before this, but I'll get really quick in terms of.
You talk. I'll look it up for you.
Yeah, in terms of like, because the when also matters here. The game against the Spurs is the fourth to last game of the season. Game against the Pistons, fifth to last game of the season. Game against the Spurs, fourth to last game of the season. Game against the Rockets, third to last game of the season. It is possible Detroit and San Antonio won't have. It's possible they won't have anything to play for by then. Although I mean, we haven't talked about the West yet. It'll be interesting to see how long the race for the 1-2 seed in the West how long it goes. Like, does it go to the final weekend of the season? It's possible. But that's something that I have my eye on. Really, the first notable game out of all of this stuff that we're talking about is tonight. Philly is in Miami tonight. And again, that's Miami coming off of a really rough loss that they could not afford. They have lost now two games in a row. They got smoked by the Pacers. And before that, they lost by 21 to Cleveland. So Miami might be dying on the vine before our eyes. Like, they're 3-7 in their last 10. I think if you're handicapping it right now, you probably have to say, or Charlotte passes, even though they have a tough schedule, just based on how these teams are playing, Charlotte passes both Miami and Orlando. Doesn't that make the most sense? And then we get a 9-10 all Florida play-in matchup.
Charlotte. Yeah. I think Charlotte can get to 9. Or can they get to 8?
I think they can get to 8.
They can get to 8. Yeah, they can get to 8. Yeah, they can get to 8. And they did win one game, they're the 7th seed.
Won one game and they're the 7th seed. I don't know if I said this before, but they Charlotte, you know what? Actually, I should look up tiebreakers between. What'd you find out on the Philly tiebreaker situation?
All right. So, Philly owns Actually, let me look this up. Actually, no. I have what the tiebreakers are, but I don't have the matches, but I can have that
so,
for.
So while right you're here. Looking it up, I will note, pretty important, Charlotte has already won the tiebreaker this season with Orlando and has already lost the tiebreaker this season with Miami. So if I am Charlotte, I am rooting for. It's going to sound weird because they're technically chasing them for playoff position. I'm probably rooting for Philly to beat Miami tonight and to further push Miami down in the standings. And then since I already have the tiebreaker against Orlando, I think if I'm Charlotte, I'm probably just gunning for that 8th spot. I think that's the most realistic one. Take my chances. And then if I lose that game, hey, worst case scenario, I face the winner of Miami or Orlando. I think Charlotte feels eminently confident that they could win that game.
So Philly owns a tiebreaker over Charlotte because they beat them 2-1 in the regular season.
There you go. Okay, that's notable.
I have all the teams up here, so just let me know what teams, and I'll tell you who the head-to-heads are, or I can read off all the Phillies.
I think that's the most notable one because I think the last question for the East that we'll maybe talk about the West a little bit. Can Philly get up to 5?
Okay.
Right? So, Jeff, isn't that kind of what we're looking at this point? Can Philly get up to 5?
That's one of the main things. Can they get up to 5? And low-key, can Charlotte get up to 7?
Well, it's funny thing. Charlotte to get to 7 just has – all they have to do is get to 8.
Yeah.
You get to 8, you win the game, right, you're the 7th.
Oh, I get what you're saying because if you get to 8, you get guaranteed 2 games in the play.
So
that's what you get.
You played a 7-8.
They're gonna if Charlotte wants to get to 7, which again I don't know how. I mean, look, that would be cool to have a even though they still can't sell it out versus Knicks fans. It would be cool for the Hornets to have a game in that arena for the playing game. They're gonna have to root for Cleveland because Cleveland, as I mentioned before, has Atlanta twice. They basically need Cleveland to win both of those games, and they need Atlanta to struggle in games that they have against. So this is where it gets dicey though, because Atlanta has games against Orlando, Miami. Who's Charlotte rooting for in those games?
So Philly and Toronto, because you're talking about getting to 5.
Yes, talking about
Philly
getting to 5.
Philly and Toronto split their season series 2-2.
I saw that. I didn't bother to look at the next, whatever the next thing is.
So
I
the next tiebreaker is division record. And as you know, Toronto is ass. And it's like, Toronto's four. And, well, you know, because they're not good against like the top teams in the league. Yeah, and a lot of them are in the division. So they're 4-10 in division. So Philly basically has a tiebreaker. Because Philly's 9-7 in division.
All right. Well, listen, that's no, I mean, that would be, if we're talking Cleveland, Philly, first round 4-5, then you're looking at probably Atlanta or Toronto for the 3-6. And then I think, I don't know, Jeff, you okay with that? If the Knicks stay at 3?
What? Knicks, Raptors?
Atlanta or Toronto.
Yeah. I think I'm good with either or with those matchups for the Knicks. I think they match up well. You know, I've heard so much about Atlanta's recent play. They've been playing excellently. I ain't hear about the record of them teams though. Cause you know, we
complex,
know
the industrial complex.
Yeah. The complex is complex. It's only sub 500 teams that they beat. Or that they've been they're like Rocky before he faced Clubber Lang. All he's fighting is tomato cans. Pepper champion. Hey woman, why don't you come over with me and play a real team tonight?
Who's Adrian in this analogy?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. All right. So,
and is she thinking about it?
Rocky and Clubber Lang. Let's say Clubber Lang is the Knicks. Who is Adrian? You know what Adrian is? Your man.
Who?
Well, Bill Simmons.
Oh God.
Or Zach Lowe.
Either of them is fine. That's great. That's a great Adrian.
It's probably one of them because it's the people supporting that team saying that they played a good record, but a good thing. That's why it's just like, yo, man, your form is your form. You can't control who you play. Your form is your form. And I think Atlanta's been doing well, but I also think they have two. Funny enough, you traded Trae Young, so you kind of plugged the gaping hole in your defense.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that there still ain't holes. And it doesn't mean that, especially on offense, like we spoke about it. If you're going to go band for band with the top teams in the division, it might behoove Atlanta to try. They don't want to drop, but they might be a better matchup against a team like Detroit or even a team like Cleveland.
So that was a fun game the other night. I watched most of the Hawks Pistons game the other night that the Hawks ended up winning in overtime. And like, Sean, before I agree with you, like, it's a lot for CJ McCollum at what? How old is he at this point? 33, 34,
I believe.
He's looking good though.
No, it's
he's
but it's
looking good.
Yeah,
but
it, you know, a lot of the crunch time offense is like, okay, go get us a bucket, CJ.
The irony.
I have a little respect for that team though.
The irony of that team getting away from having to rely on an undersized point guard in the clutch, only to now rely on an undersized point guard in the clutch who's a decade older. Like, you can't make this up. Forever, I love Atlanta.
But in a weird way, this is going to sound silly. I don't know what the hell. I think CJ is a better fit. You see where I'm going with this?
I get it. It's like what do I always say, Sean? You got to pick a struggle, right? You got to choose a struggle. You cannot have multiple struggles.
Yeah.
If you're going to choose your struggle, which struggle would you choose given the current construction of the Hawks, right? Because, yo, we saw it when Trey, seeing some of that streak where the Hawks were losing all them games and the game that ultimately blew them up after the Knicks went down to Atlanta and smacked them, right? It was glaring. And I think it was not even that they smacked them. I think there was like a point where Brunson shot a three in Trey's grill and Trey didn't even, like, he flinched at him.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember.
And it's like, yo, he has nowhere to hide. And Trey's, you gotta, like, David, blame him on defense. And then for all of the stuff that he does with the assists and getting everybody involved, Atlanta's built more of a hub system where CJ is, it can be plug and play. Yes. CJ's not a lockdown defender, but he has a little bit more size.
A little
on him.
Bit more.
A little bit more where it's like, yo, you not getting bullied in the paint by Mikal Bridges or like pushed by like Chet or these lighter guys. But at the same time, when it comes down to the clutch, who's CJ Garden?
And also not for nothing. Sorry, go.
Now I was about to say, you were like, you know, you had to hide Trae Young and Trae Young in defense. I was thinking to myself,
same thing for CJ McCollum.
Because what was the knock on those Portland teams? It's like you got these two small guards,
but they had to hide two.
They had to hide two guys. Yeah, but you gotta hide.
And the low key thing about CJ, he has a lot of years of experience working off the ball, being the other guy. So for him to actually be, he's a more productive player when he doesn't have the ball, I would argue, than Trae Young was when Trae Young didn't have the ball, which is why I think I like that. I think it's why it's worked with Jalen Johnson, you know, because Jalen Johnson gets his, you know, opportunities. CJ gets his opportunities. And like, I don't know. It's just like every time I watch them, they seem to really like playing with each other. Like there's the vibes are pretty good in Atlanta. We'll see how long that lasts once they start playing some real teams. But I don't know. I wouldn't be in a rush to play. Last thing, I want to touch on the West very briefly because we got to get to All NBA. Which of these lower teams do you think has the best chance of giving the Celtics a real series?
It ain't Orlando.
It's not Orlando.
It's not Orlando. I mean, Charlotte's the obvious answer. And at this point, I don't know what's going to happen between them teams.
Didn't look great.
Charlotte destroyed Boston. Then Boston comes back, destroys Charlotte without Jaylen Brown. I think it would be fun. I think that to me is like the Hornets are now the sexy pick, right? Like they're like the sexy answer for everything. It's the trendy hipster answer. It's the hipster answer. Like, oh, you know, Charlotte Hornets. Like, why are we not talking about Charlotte Hornets? Low key, if we want to throw around the... you know, they might be dangerous and da-da-da-da-da. That Sixers-Celtics
could get the same interesting. Mind,
it could be interesting.
I would be interested in that series.
Like I said, if the Super Soldier Serum kicks in, Embiid, the duct tape on Embiid's knee holds up, you want to talk about fear? VJ Edgecombe in the clutch and Nikhil Alexander-Walker channeling whatever he's channeling to have a career year. Like those are two guys where I'm like, man, they just feel like they are the guys that emerge in the postseason and you say, wow, like they turned it up. They're the best version of themselves on another level. Every time I see a clutch time with the Sixers, this man Edgecombe is hitting a three and they're leaving him wide open. Like it's uncanny at this point. Yeah. So I just think it could be, you know, Are the Boston centers going to hold up? We don't hear a lot about Boston's bench. We don't really hear a lot. Like it's almost like it's a foregone conclusion that their bench is super solid. Baylor, Shireman,
not in the middle, Walsh,
and all these guys. Like, how are they going to perform in the postseason? That's an unknown that the Celtics haven't had in a while.
Yeah, right? I to what Sean was saying earlier about you got to run up and you run and beat up and down the court. The one thing the Celtics don't do is run. What they do is put you in the spin cycle, and I think that series would come down to how much they'd be able to exploit Embiid on the when they have the ball, like kind of whizzing the ball around the perimeter, you know, angling for open. I think that would be a fun series. All right, just very briefly on the West, and then we'll get to All NBA. I'll ask you the same question, Jeff. Out of everything that's going on in the Western Conference, what's the most interesting thing to you?
I had it up. 1 second. Oh, yeah. 3 through 6.
Yeah.
3 through 6. That to me is the most with the Lakers. Right now, Lakers at 3, Nuggets at 4, Wolves at 5, Rockets at 6. They all the Lakers have the tiebreaker on everybody. And they just seem to be trading spots in the standings on a nightly basis. So the same way how the bottom of the East, the last 6 slots, are in complete flux. It feels like the middle of the Western Conference, like the playoff team slots are pretty much in flux. I don't think Phoenix is going to be able to make up enough ground to get into that top 6. So now,
No. Yeah, they're four back.
Yeah, this is part of it, right? Because the Wolves are winning games. You didn't think they were going to win. The Rockets cannot hold on to a lead. It's fascinating to see what's going to happen and what matchups are we going to get 3-6 and 4-5. That whatever that ends up being.
Well, don't look now. The Nuggets have won 6 in a row. Now, talk about cupcakes. Raptors, Blazers, Suns, Mavs, Jazz, Warriors. So, little Hawks-ish vibes there. But 6 in a row. Good, you know, at this time of year. Sean, I don't know. I'm thinking if I'm the Lakers or the Rockets, I'm probably feeling pretty. I think each team is like, we could take them. And then if we do, then it's like we get to face a young Spurs team in the second round. And then, you know, crazier things have happened than a young team losing in the conference semis in their first trip to the playoffs, right?
Well, the Rockets are Toronto South, and then you won the congratulations to everyone to play you team.
Yes.
To your point, it's interesting you say that, like, oh, if we get past, if we're in a 3-6 and we get past it, then we'll get a young Spurs team. There's been so much consternation about tanking and the tanking teams. Meanwhile, there were like 9 games last night, and all of them involved like teams, all of them involved teams jockeying for playoff positioning except for one. But the irony of this, the discourse on tanking and like the bottom of each conference being like all out bad, is that the 7 through 10 teams, the top 10 teams, have been locked in, as in you're going to be at least playing in the play-in for like weeks. And it makes me think
in the West, yeah.
In the West. Yeah. No, in the East also. Like, it's been Milwaukee.
There's Giannis the 10 or the 11 spot has been clear for
weeks. 11, yeah, 11 spot has been tied down. But I say that to say, I wonder if any of these teams that's in 7 through 10, in any other year, will they tank to get out of it, to get into will they tank their way out of it because they're like going up against Oklahoma City or this freaking alien is just not even worth our time. But they don't have a choice. So then the point is, our teams. So my answer to this question is, our teams going to maneuver themselves to take a crack at Wemby, because they're like, all right, yes, he's amazing, but this team hasn't done jack. They're young, to your point. We know it's going to look like against Oklahoma City. So that's interesting to me.
Yeah. No, I think to me, the most interesting thing in the West is just if we're going to get Denver, Minnesota in round one, because to me, that would be this year's Memorial. Like, oh, these are two teams like who in a certain world could potentially make the finals, and they would be playing each other in round one. Selfishly, I hope we get that matchup because I think that would be a lot of fun, although there would be no bad matchups in the West. Okay, Sean, are you sticking around for All-NBA?
Yeah,
you're going to go
around. Yes.
Enjoy. Okay. So I'm actually curious if we need to have a very long discussion on this. So let me just, again, set the stage in terms of the 65-game stuff. Players who are out. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Steph Curry, Joel Embiid. Sorry, I just want a good laugh. Lauri Markkanen and Austin Reeves. Likely out, Cade Cunningham. Now, Cade Cunningham could miss 4 more games, but we've gotten no indication that he's even going to play again in the regular season. So I am accounting for the fact that Cade Cunningham is not going to be eligible for All-NBA. And then we have these guys on the cusp, none of whom are currently hurt, I will note, except for one, and I'll get to him. Devin Booker, Nikola Jokic, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Edwards, and I'll, out of respect, I'll throw Denny Avdia just into the conversation. They could all miss one more game. Anthony Edwards, as of the most recent report, will play in Minnesota's next game, which I think is tomorrow night. I forget if it's tonight or tomorrow night. But he's probably going to play in his next game, in which case, if he plays the rest of the games, he'll be fine. Wemby and Evan Mobley, again, kind of throwing him in there out of respect, can miss 2 more games. Here's who I have as locks. And I want you guys to object when you hear a name that is not a lock.
Is this the first team or just all NBA period?
All NBA. Okay. All NBA. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Okay. Victor Wembanyama. Nikola Jokic. Luka Doncic. I'll start going a little slower now. Jaylen Brown. Kawhi Leonard. Okay.
If you tell me Kawhi, you know, basically like starting 6 and 21 has to matter also, but he's been playing lights out ever since.
He has a great argument for first team if he gets to the games. So yes. To me, he's a lock for All-NBA. Donovan Mitchell. Yeah. Okay. I don't hear anything. Jeff's guy, Anthony Edwards. Okay. And then I have another category that is lock-ish. I have this guy in lock. It's probably not who you think. I have KD as a lock for an All-NBA spot. Okay.
Is that the end of your locks?
That is the end of my locks. And then
I have an issue with KD as a lock.
Okay. So here's then I'll just go right to my lock-ish. And this is going to take us to 14 guys, assuming no Cade. It's not that hot of a take. My hot take is that if Cade was eligible, there would be no All-NBA discussion because these would be the 15. Here's my lock-ish list. Starting with Jalen Brunson, Tyrese Maxey, Jamal Murray, Jalen Johnson, Scottie Barnes. So I have just named 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Just double checking. I've just named 14 guys. What do you got for me?
SGA, Jokic, Brown.
SGA, Wemby, Jokic, Luka, Brown, Kawhi, Mitchell, Ant, and KD. That is in category one. Category two, Brunson, Maxey, Murray, Jalen Johnson, Scottie Barnes.
Scottie Barnes is the only one I have somewhat issue with.
He is the last name on my lock-ish.
Yes.
If you want to move him down to like competition for the last spot and turn it into competition for the last two spots, I'm fine with that.
And Scottie Barnes had a great year. You know, I always believe that defense gets underrated when it comes to these things. But I don't know if he's lock-ish.
The advanced stats adore him. He has his counting stats are very good. And he's going to make all defense, whether he makes first team all defense or second team all defense. The only thing that's in conversation. Jeff, you have an issue with KD in group one.
I have an issue with him being a lock over Brunson.
Okay. Why?
That's a good call. Cause like,
why? I'm asking the why. So why is he a lock? Brunson.
I will give you just very quick my rationale here because I didn't just pull this out of my ass. I promise. It was often as I tend to do things of that nature. KD, if you're looking at the one thing that Brunson has over him is if you're looking at on off, neither are they very good. The Knicks are like plus 1.5 or something with Brunson on the court. In comparison to when he's off, KD is even a little bit lower than that. He's at plus 0.8. So not anything there. Here's where I had trouble. Kevin Durant this year, 94th percentile efficiency, 94th percentile usage, 95th percentile efficiency, 129 points per 100 shot attempts. That's silly. And then 90th percentile assists for his position. Brunson, for those same categories, 87th percentile usage, 76th percentile efficiency, 56th percentile assists. Again, different standards because one's a point guard, one's a whatever he's categorized as. But like basically Durant is averaging 11 more points per 100 shot attempts than Jalen Brunson is. And then if you go over and look at the advanced stats, you got Kevin Durant. He's eighth in value over replacement player. He is 13th in box plus minus win shares. He is fourth. Jalen Brunson is like low teens to 20 in all of those categories.
That motherfucker is shooting 64% true shooting, Kevin Durant.
It's an absurd. It's an absurd season.
And you know what it is? You know what it is, Jeff? And honestly, I'm with you. I feel like Jalen's more of a lock than Kevin. But I wonder how much of the news of get off my Dickerson and all the other stuff makes us look at Kevin Durant as like, oh, you're torpedoing the team again, yada, yada, yada. But like he hoops. But I think, and I know Jeff's agree with me on this, like, you know, we don't play basketball on calculators and abacuses. But the numbers are hard to ignore. But I think for what, like, I can see what I see where you're coming from, Jeff. Like, why is KD a lock? But then you look at the numbers and you're like, shit, that's like 64% true shooting is insane.
So I'll pull it back and say, I will make this a KD thing. I guess my question is, why do you, because you say Brunson is lockish. So that to me implies, if he got left off, you would equate it kind of like a bubble team in college, like getting into March Madness.
I love that you went here because it's exactly where I was struggling. because I was like, Brunson should be a lock, right? And then I'm like, okay, if Brunson's a lock, doesn't Tyrese Maxey have to be a lock? And then I looked at Tyrese Maxey's numbers, and there's a lot of arguments that Tyrese Maxey's having a better season than Jalen Brunson. Again, team record says no. Pretty much everything else says Maxey's having a better season than Brunson. And then it's like, all right, what about Jamal Murray? Go look at Jamal Murray's numbers. Guess who's having a statistically better season than Jalen Brunson? Jamal Murray. And now their teams are a game apart in the standings. And then I'm like, all right, well, so maybe that's where I should cut it off. And maybe there's only one lockish guy, and it's Jalen Johnson, and we should put Brunson, Maxey, and Murray all as locks. But, like, I don't know. Should Jamal Murray be a lock for all NBA? Maybe he should. Maybe that's where I'm struggling. And they,
or
all three
or
of
maybe
those guys.
Maybe if you put KD with lockish, then it makes more sense. Because to your point, there's so many arguments you can make for Kevin, Jalen, Tyrese, Jamal. Like, there's so many arguments to make for them, but they're not locks.
So,
like, if you tell me Jalen Brunson isn't lock all NBA, but then again, maybe it's a Knicks fan in me. I have a hard time thinking that dude isn't a lock. Someone in Denver can say the same thing about their guy.
The only reason is there are, as we know, because we hear this stuff, there's statistical stuff out there that's like Karl-Anthony Townsend has been the Knicks' best player this year, and it's not even close. I obviously don't agree with that, and I know you guys don't agree with that. But, like, if you wanted to make such an argument, you could. Jeff, where are you?
This is my thing. Do we just break out the stat sheets and then just say,
we don't.
The All-NBA, right? I think winning has to matter. I think situations have to matter. You want to talk about level of disappointment. Like, what have the Rockets been talking about? Like, and yes, KD has eclipsed all of that. Like, this man thrives in negativity, right? And I think there's something to say about that. Murray's having a career year, but it feels like Murray kind of always has a career year, but he gets overlooked. So maybe this is the time to give him the look. My whole thing was just the whole, I don't think Brunson is lock-ish this year for All-NBA. I feel like if you had, like, if you want to talk about on the bubble and we break out the stat sheets, say what you want about Cat. Nobody's doing the double-double machine thing like him. Like, if we want to talk about lock-ish, I'm like, okay, given everything else that's happened, like, for everything that the overtly negative narrative is on him, I can pull out the TI-83 and say, yo, he's doing it like that. Like, even with the true shooting, right? Kevin Durant's shooting 64%. Brunson is 5 percentage points behind him, right? 5 percentage points, which in the grand scheme is not really like a chasm like you might think it is. Like, I get it. And even with Kawhi has been incredible. Yeah. Incredible. I definitely hear you on the All-NBA first team. They also started 6-21. So it's like you're giving him extra credit for this team being in a position that they shouldn't have been in to begin with.
And they're only 3 games over 500. They're in the A spot. You know?
I'm saying, even Ant-Man being a lock when Brunson is not.
Coming from you.
I mean, I love Ant. I'm just saying, this goes back to my whole point that we can do this with every other team. It just shocked me that out of everybody that you named as a lock, it's like the first, you know, the MVP candidates and the clear MVP candidates, I get it. Luka definitely earned it. Donovan had that team on his back the whole year. If Donovan wasn't on that team, they would be fighting for 6, 7 through 10 right now, even with the Harden, they would have to trade Harden to lock in a playoff spot. Maxey, I feel the same way. Like, the same way if you told me Maxey was lockish, I'm like, oh, we must only be talking about record.
To be clear, the cat Brunson thing is not the real reason why it's just an efficiency thing. It's like Anthony Edwards' insane efficiency this year, not KD level, but like one step down from that. Donovan Mitchell, he's in that same category. Brunson just, He just hasn't been that efficient for the last couple of months. That's the only reason why.
You value efficiency highly in your evaluation. Not saying it's wrong or right. It's just I know you do.
If you're an offense first player and you're viewed as a defensive liability for your team, you got to put the ball in the basket. That's that's the thing.
That's true.
Sean,
I would like I said, you can make
look, Brunson's making it. Let me be very clear. Brunson's making the team. I'm not arguing that Brunson's making the team. I'm just like, is it to the point where you look at his name and it's like no investigation required in pen? He's right there. It's just about second team or third team. That's all I was trying to do.
His whole career has been investigation. That's what gets kind of annoying out of the world.
That's true.
After a while. And I think Ben Kim Gervey put in a good point that, you know, whatever. If this man had the SGA whistle, we would not be having this conversation.
Listen, if his teammate,
if he had 75%, if his teammate had 50% of the SGA whistle, Scotty Barnes, you are getting punted into the sun.
Listen, Carl was making a push for third team All NBA late, and then.
So let's finish. Hold on. There's still how many games left? There were 7 games? 8 games?
I was saying then it kind of cooled because, you know, against the Hornets, you know, he did the Carl thing. And then for 3 quarters, he was not seen. And then in the 4 quarters, he started cooking.
He waved.
I'll say this about Kevin. Like, his ability to go out there and hoop no matter how much bullshit is be surrounded by him. I mean, whether or not he causes some of it, it's amazing. And especially since he deals with – because Jeff's the situation's mad, and I agree. Like, Tyrese Maxey's had to deal with this fucking Joel Embiid, Paul George garbage all year, and he's pooped. And Kevin, listen, Kevin has to deal with a coach whose halftime adjustments are stop being a bitch, you know? So
stop bitching is the best. It's his best halftime. Why are y'all bitching so much?
Yo, love. Hoop.
Coach, what can we do better? What's the scheme? The scheme is scheme out your bitch assness and go hoop. Or I will put Reed Shepard in this game the whole second half. Do not.
And you know I don't want to do that shit either.
He's going to threaten to play Jayshon Tate for the last 24 minutes of the game.
Oh, man.
All right. So let's do this. So we have how many spots do we have now? So 14. Eight
also,
locks.
Cade not making this is criminal. Can we say that?
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely criminal. Like, if he doesn't make this is fucking criminal.
You motherfuckers who love this rule. Hey, listen, far be it for me to defend Joel Embiid. However, everyone thought this 65-game rule was Joel Embiid rule, and they loved it. And I say all the time, people, there are unintended consequences for all of our actions. And as soon as it was a guy that they like, now it's a problem.
I think it was the Kawhi rule more because he was doing a lot of that.
But Kawhi was actually hurt. But the funny thing is, both these – Kawhi, listen, I saw –
because he planted too many trees, he was hurt?
No, what I'm saying is – I saw Kawhi drag around his leg in 2019.
I'm not talking about 2019. I'm talking about like the
No, what I'm saying, I don't, he's not like his leg got, what I'm saying is but the thing about this is that Kawhi was never in the running for MVP. But Joel
was 1 year.
Joel won an MVP where he played, I think, 61 games. And it's like, all right, like you don't think your favorite player is going to affect your favorite player?
Your point is well taken. All right, we got the 12 locks. We have 3 spots left. Here are the names I have. Jalen Johnson, Scottie Barnes, Devin Booker, Jalen Duren, Chet Holmgren, and out of respect, Karl Anthony Towns. All due respect to Bam Adebayo, Evan Mobley, and Alperen Şengün. I don't think they need to be in this conversation. So you got to pick 3 names from that group. Again, I'll say it again. Jalen Johnson, Scottie Barnes, Devin Booker, Jalen Duren, Chet Holmgren, Karl Anthony Towns. I'll just say I think it's Jalen Johnson, Scottie Barnes, and I think it comes down for me probably to, man.
You said Jalen Johnson, Scottie Barnes, Devin Booker,
Jalen Duren, Jalen Duren, Chet Holmgren, Karl Anthony Towns.
That's the name of this. And we need to pick 3.
We need to pick, assuming we're agreeing on the first 12, then yeah, I think we need to pick 3 from that. I can't get Cat on there over these other names. I'll just say that I was looking at Duren's case.
Yeah.
I mean, he, again, take this stuff with however many grains of salt you want to take it, but he's third in the league. It's a center skewing stat. Preface it. He's third in the league in win shares this year after SGA and Jokic. Jalen Duren is. And like, if you look at the on-off stuff, like the Pistons are plus 8.3. That's in the 90th percentile league-wide with Jalen Duren on the court. Like, Fred Katz just wrote a great article about how his defense has been arguably the most surprising single skill in the league this year. He's like 90th percentile efficiency. I don't, and now Cade's been out, and they don't lose games with Cade out, and like Jalen Duren's the guy. I can't believe I'm saying this. I would probably skew Duren over Chet or Booker. And I might that's where I would go.
I think I agree. And I don't necessarily believe in the, all right, this team has to have this many people on this team because of their record. But Jalen Duren, I mean, you want to talk about double doubles, like, you know.
I'll get it up right now. How many we're at right now?
I have both Jalen's locked here. So Jalen Johnson, Jalen Duren.
And I'll say this, just offering it up. Just did some data baller. Shout out to data baller. Just did some data baller comparisons. Chet and Cat and Scotty Barnes and Cat.
Close.
It's very close. And in Scotty Barnes' case, I don't think it's close.
You think Cat has it over Barnes easily?
Yeah. Yeah. If we're just looking at numbers, right?
Okay.
Offensively, it's like, offensively, like there's some comparable stuff there. Defensively, which is crazy. Like, if they're looking at defensive field goal percentage, defensive rebounds, the field goal difference, Cat is doing better than him. He's doing better, like, over year periods. But even their six factors, like the
So, Cat having a much more efficient season than either Johnson or Barnes. Honestly, the Johnson case is probably the weakest because, like, he's not a great defender. His case really, honestly, is counting stats. It's like, oh,
20, triple doubles and
23,
all that.
Yeah, it's like 10 and 8. Like,
no, it's like 23, 10, 8, and 4. Like, you have like four seasons out of nowhere.
But in terms of averages, you're making the
but
case
you know what, John,
over Jalen Johnson.
Why is when did Luka became first team locked? Because he's putting up buckets, like, because he's and I've seen the advanced stats about his defense has been better and they have a better defensive rate in the last couple weeks, whatever. But like, no, he's dropping buckets on people.
Well, this is crazy. We're all agreeing on Duren before any of these other guys, I think, right?
I think he's had a solid enough season to be considered all NBA. Like, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, it's a travesty if he got left off. But especially if Cade ain't making it, I'm sorry. One of them got to get on there, bro. Yeah. One of them.
All right, we'll end the show with our pick. So, no discussion needed. The first team SGA, Wemby, Jokic, Luka. Who gets your fifth first team spot? Jeff, I'll start with you.
I'll give it to Jaylen Brown.
Sean?
You said Wemby, SGA, Luka.
Wemby, SGA, Luka, Jokic. Why, you got him?
Yeah, I'm fine with Jaylen Brown.
I will give it to Jaylen Brown as well, as much as it pains me, because it's not always my cup of tea, but I think he deserves it. Second team. Start throwing – Jeff, start us off. Who starts off your second team? You want to start with Ant?
I'd start with Donovan.
Start with Donovan.
I'll start with Donovan. Because, like, it's – like, I'm not even – Hyperbolean. It's been Herculean what he had to do, especially given the Cavs of it all.
I'll go Ant next. Sean.
I agree with Donovan. I want to put Brunson on second team, but that's the homeward me.
It's not just the homer in you. He has a real argument for second team. I don't know that I could put him before Kawhi Leonard if we're doing an order. That's me.
Read off the rest of your locks.
So here's who we have left. So Mitchell and Ann are on second team. We got Kawhi, KD, Brunson, Maxey, Murray. I don't think Durin's a second team candidate, but that's who we're talking about here. You want to do Kawhi, Brunson, and Durant? Kawhi, Brunson, and Murray?
Durant can go to 13. I can put Ant, I can put Brunson.
All right, we're putting Brunson on the second team.
Yes, put Brunson on the second team. Sasha. I'm going to go Jeff, plug my
laptop. We agree on Kawhi on second team? Or are we not?
Jay had to move his laptop.
That's fine. We still got you, Sean. It's fine.
Mitchell and Kawhi, Brunson.
Give me the last spot.
You know what? Can I put Murray over KD?
Jesus. I don't.
Oh God.
It's real. If you look at Murray's numbers this year, he's having, it's not just the best, it's like his best season of his career by a healthy margin.
Is that best season better than what KD's doing now?
I mean, I'll just give you the if you want the raw, like, so if you're going just efficiency or end usage, Kevin Durant, 129 points per 100 shot attempts, a 27 usage rate. Jamal Murray, a 30 usage rate, 125.5 points per 100 shot attempts. Murray, I will say, Jamal Murray, the on-off stuff is much better than Kevin Durant. Advanced stuff, and advanced stats like Kevin Durant better.
Jokic was out for a minute.
And they stayed afloat.
And they held serve and they kept it up. Yeah, I'm gonna give him. He's been overlooked for too long. I'll go Murray over KD. I think if narratives are the tiebreaker, I could see Murray and KD getting this and Brunson being on the third team.
I'm just going to tell you right now, if I have to make a prediction right now, what is going to happen, I think Brunson will wind up getting the 11th most votes, and I think he will be the first third team spot. I'm telling you right now, that's what I think will happen. I'm not telling you that's what I think should happen. I think that's what will happen.
I see the way the conversations have been going all season, so that's why I'm like, And it's apropos for his career. The first year he should have been an all-star, it didn't get voted. Then he should have been all-star starter and didn't happen. He somehow made first team all he somehow finished top five at MVP, but was sixth in all NBA voting, which I think JJ Redick had said that he did that exact, he made that exact voting decision where he voted for Brunson top five and Tatum for first team. And he said he had a rationale, but I never found out the rationale for
I think it's people have different definitions of what it is to be. Were you one of the five best players in the NBA versus were you one of the most five valuable players to your team in the NBA? I think that's.
You know what's crazy?
I call that too, by the way, before
anonymous.
You know what it is, honestly? Just. We talked about the Oscars a few weeks ago. This shit happens in a lot of award stuff where it's like, oh, I got to reward this, both of these things. So I'm going to give this best director. I'm going to give this best picture. I'm going to give this actor. I'm going to give this director or cinematographer, whatever.
It's just counter to you telling me I was the fifth most valuable person in this league, but you don't believe that I'm one of the five best players in the league.
I think people looked at that specific race and they're like, because of what Tatum does on both ends of the floor, he had a better season by infinitesimal amounts than Jalen Brunson. But if you talk about where would the Celtics be without Jason Tatum versus where would the Knicks be without Brunson, that's what got him.
I follow the logic. I just disagree with it. Just in general, it's just like, yo, the MVP is the top five players, and it should be the top five players in the league.
Should be. Often has not been, especially when it was the positional stuff. All right, so we're SGA, Wemby, Jokic, Luka Brown, first team, second team, Donovan Mitchell, Anthony Edwards, Kawhi Leonard, Jalen Brunson, Jamal Murray, third team, Kevin Durant, Tyrese Maxey, Jalen Duren, Sean had to dip, so we're each going to pick one. So who's your, give me one of your last two spots.
You said... We're going KD,
Maxey,
Durin.
And then we're picking from Jalen Johnson, Scottie Barnes, Devin Booker, Chet Holmgren, Carl Anthony Towns.
Oof. I
I'm actually fascinated to see how this actually will go because I don't have a read. I think it's going to, I think the last spots are going to come down to Chet, Jalen Johnson, and Scotty Barnes.
If it's, I'll say this. I won't even say what, I'll go by what I think is going to happen. I think.
Give me both. Give me what you think will happen. Give me what you think should happen.
I think it'll be Jalen Johnson and probably Chet.
You think it will be Jalen Johnson and Chet?
I think it'll
be
Jalen
Johnson.
Do you think
Barnes will get left off?
I don't know what the comp, if it's going to be strictly for like a defensive thing. Did he make it last year?
No, but Scotty Barnes has never made All-NBA. I'll double check that right now.
He's never made All-NBA. Okay. To make it in your first year, I feel like you have to, there has to be like some no doubt about it. Yo, we cannot leave this guy off. I don't know. I don't know what the conversation's been like around Scotty Barnes. I know it's been consistently that he's like one of the best defenders in the league, but.
Not only has he not made All-NBA, he has, unless I'm misreading this. No, I don't think I am misreading this. He has never gotten a vote for All-NBA. Like not one.
That could be the definition of overlooked. But I do think Jalen Johnson is somehow going to make that team. I don't.
It's tough, right? As easy as it is to do the first couple teams, I think this is really tough.
Booker's health might knock him out a little bit.
So I'm assuming he's going to play the rest of the games. And again, he could miss one more game.
I don't mean for eligibility. I mean just
oh,
for
you
like
just mean
season,
if people knock him down a peg. Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that should be considered.
Is Chet going to make it over Scotty Barnes? That's a. I'll say Johnson and Chet with Barnes getting overlooked. If I had it, man, it's tough. It is really
Scotty Barnes, 18.5 points, almost 8 rebounds, almost 6 assists, 2.5. What is this? A steal and a half and a block and a half a game. Which I don't think there's anybody else in the league that has his specific, other than Wemby, I don't think there's anyone else that has his specific combination of steals and blocks.
So you know what? I feel like the voters might go Chet over Barnes. If it was me, given what you said and also rewarding winning, I go Cat Barnes.
Gonna go Cat and Barnes. All right,
I go Cat Barnes.
I will share your Barnes pick because I just think you have like he's been super valuable for the Raptors and like he's like a unique player, but like I think he's worth it. Man,
yeah, this bottom three isn't as egregious. And then, you know, if Cade somehow becomes eligible, then it becomes what?
Then it's really tough. Because then does Durant get on? Because then do voters are like, am I really going to put two Pistons on? Whereas I'm only going to put one member of the Thunder, one member of the Spurs, one member of the Celtics, so on and so forth. I'll just say, assuming again, no chat, I'm going to go Jalen Johnson for the last spot. I think he's been really good. But I think, look, Cat deserves to be in the conversation. So it's the best compliment that I can give him. Jeff, you stayed overtime. Thank you, brother.
you got it, man.
This was great. I'm happy we were able to run through all this. Next week, obviously, is the kind of penultimate. Next week is the final Monday of the NBA regular season. So we will kind of update everything we did today. We'll do some more award stuff. Maybe highlight a few games that are going to like maybe like rank the best five games of the final week of the regular season. We'll think of something fun to do. You're the man. Sean had to jet, but thanks to him too. If you're digging the show, you know what to do. Certainly make sure you're following us on YouTube at NBA Takedown. You can definitely go ahead and follow us on social media as well. And then if you listen in podcast form, go ahead, give a little rating, 5 stars ideally. As Sean says, not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, but 5. And write a review, because that's the way that more people find out about what we're doing here. I felt bad. Somebody on the watch along the other night asked, was like, hey, you guys gonna, you know, do more than like one show a week? It's my fault. This season has been absolutely insane. Knicks Film School is an overarching bear of a thing, as Jeff can attest to. But we'll try to get some bonus stuff, bonus episodes and whatnot, as we can, over the course of the stretch of the regular season, the playoffs, the whole thing. But in the meantime, everybody enjoy the rest of your Monday, and we will talk to you soon.